Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat that's cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days. A 101-night sleep trial. And up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices. Up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep. Upgrade your life. Ghostbed. The coolest beds in the world.
And joining us on the line right now is Joe DeGeneva, legal analyst, former U.S. attorney to the District of Columbia and good friend of this program. Good morning to you, Joe.
Morning, Brian.
All right, so we were on the air Friday, the Justice Department asked for the resignation of 46 U.S. attorneys around the country who had been appointed by the Obama administration, and the Internet and the Democrats completely lost their mind over this. It is times like this, Joe DeGeneva, we need somebody with a historical perspective to help us understand, somebody who may have been perhaps a U.S. attorney in the District of Columbia.
Yes, well, here's the law. What the president and the attorney general did, asking for the resignations of the 46 U.S. attorneys who had not already resigned out of the 93 U.S. attorneys, is perfectly legal and proper. All United States attorneys are presidential appointees. They serve at the pleasure of the president. They could be removed for any reason, for cause, for no cause. They want to put somebody else in and give them a chance. This request was perfectly normal. And in fact, it was much less severe than what Bill Clinton did in a matter of days after becoming president. Clinton, after being sworn in on January 20th, 1993, fired all 93 U.S. attorneys in one day. You didn't hear Chuck Schumer or Dianne Feinstein worrying about the continuity of criminal investigations at that time. What a bunch of absolute hypocrites. Nothing unusual about that. From Schumer. I'm a little disappointed in Dianne Feinstein, who usually thinks a little bit, but she's become sort of an apparatchik over the last couple of years, kind of mouthing all of the idiotic nostrums out of Schumer's mouth. But this was perfectly proper. Nothing wrong with it. What you're seeing is phony outrage. This is fake outrage by Schumer and Feinstein and others, and it's really quite embarrassing because they know categorically that what they're saying is false.
So could you just go over the Preet Bharara matter? Now, he's the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York. Was. He initially said, I'm not quitting. If you want to make me quit, you got to fire me. And they did.
Yes.
And a lot of people have said, well, this is rump, 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 rump. Give me the latest on that.
Well, first of all, he's been U.S. attorney in New York for almost 8 years. That's a pretty good run. Mm-hmm. I heard some folks from New York with whom I spoke yesterday say that he really stayed too long at the fair. You have to think about this. 7 years in one of the highest profile U.S. attorney jobs in the country. Just think about concentrating that much power, control over Wall Street investigations, et cetera, banks, big banks, into the hands of one person for what now would have been an indeterminate period of time. There's nothing wrong with that, but let's be very clear about what happened in New York. Preet Bharara met right after the election with President-elect Trump at Trump Tower and came out and held a press conference and said he was asked to stay and said that he would.
Joe, I'm so sorry. We're having a serious problem with your line. I wonder if we can reestablish with Joe. That is so distracting that it's really hard to understand what Joe is saying. But he's right about Preet Bharara. This is a man who had been there for a number of years and a man who was involved in a bunch of high-level investigations. And he's made some rather inappropriate suggestions that that somehow he was taken down because he was in the middle of very sensitive investigations.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how much of that is true or not, but it is something you serve as the U.S. attorney at the wish of the president. Okay, are you back with us, Joe?
Yeah, here's the deal. After Preet Bharara met with President-elect Trump at Trump Tower, he said, he came out and held a news conference. Bharara said he was asked to stay. But after that, his former boss, remember, Bharara used to work as chief counsel in the Senate, and then he became U.S. attorney. What happened here was Schumer obstructed unilaterally all of President Trump's cabinet members, and indeed even voted against Mitch McConnell's wife to be Secretary of Transportation, Elaine Chao. So what happened here was, this is Trump payback. This is the art of the deal. You want to stay? Great. Tell your boss to stop it. His boss didn't stop it, Mr. Schumer. Mr. Bharara is gone. This is basic New York American politics.
There were reports that apparently President Trump tried to call Bharara for 2 days before he was asked to resign, to thank him for his service and to wish him good luck. And apparently Bharara, Reuters is reporting, refused to take the phone call. Is he positioning himself for a political run?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, Bharara is known to have had political ambitions. Nothing wrong with that. Doesn't seem to have prevented him from doing his job, may have encouraged him to do his job a little bit differently, if not better. The fact that he did not return a sitting president's call tells you something about his ego, and I'm talking about Mr. Barrara's ego, not the president's. He thought himself as indispensable, did Mr. Bharara, and no one is.
All right. The intelligence panel, House Intelligence Committee, is going in to look into this stuff about a wiretap.
Yes.
Where are we on that, Joe?
Here's where we are. This is the question. It's the Krauthammer question. Under Obama, did the agencies deliberately abuse the right to listen in on foreigners as a way to listen in improperly on Americans? That's what this entire thing is all about. When the president claimed that Obama had ordered his wiretaps, I believe that the president knew that not to be the case, but he didn't mean literally. He meant that the intelligence agencies, basically the FBI, which gets the FISA taps, got these taps, which the New York Times, by the way, reported on January 20th, that there were wiretaps on Trump associates and perhaps Trump himself. Trump relied on the New York Times. Now, it is true that the president can pick up the phone and ask the Attorney General, the CIA director, and the current Director of National Intelligence, I want all the FISA wiretap papers on my desk in 1 hour, and they would be there. But he doesn't have to do that. He started a conversation. By the way, I misspoke. The New York Times started a conversation about this on January 20th, 2017, when they ran a story with a headline that said Trump and associates had been wiretapped, and there had been overhears, and there were transcripts. Now, here's what we know for certain, that information was leaked in violation of the espionage statute.
Right.
We know for certain that crimes have been committed by people who had access to not only the FISA taps, but transcripts from those taps. And we know this for certain, that when you do a FISA tap and an American's name comes up, it is to be blanked out. And the conversation is to be obliterated,
right,
unless it's part of an ongoing conspiracy of an counterintelligence agent. Michael Flynn's name got out. That was a felony. And that, if the Intelligence Committee wants to spend its time usefully, find out who the hell leaked that stuff. It's pretty easy to do. There are only so many people that had access. But we've gotten diverted into this goofy thing about collusion. But when it all is said and done, this is all about the FISA taps.
Mm-hmm.
Who ordered them? What was done with them? How are they distributed? How did the transcripts get out? This whole scandal has nothing to do with Russian collusion with Trump. It has to do with American officials committing felonies who had access to national security information,
right,
and violated the law in releasing that information to the press.
We got to leave it right there. Joe DeGenova, legal analyst, former U.S. attorney to the District of Columbia. Greatly appreciate you being here.